we've seen others take. So I think it's back to where we started the conversation, and that is being flexible and being adaptable and just being willing to make change. You know, in order to implement change, you have to make change.
Hello, everyone. This is Cole from the American Journal of Healthcare Strategy coming to you with a special guest. We've been working for a while, going back and forth with scheduling and technical glitches, but such an important guest doing some really incredible things. We're so honored to have you on. Antoine, can you please introduce yourself and the role that you're in now and, you know, what you're working on?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Sorry for the delay, but this will be a game changer for sure. So Antoine Williams, co-founder of the Advancement League, and our premier event, the Young Health Leader Summit, also chief operating officer for Orlando Health's South Seminole Hospital, soon to be Orlando Health Lake Mary Hospital.
We're so happy to have you on because you're doing these incredible things. You're moving a hospital right now as we speak. Just 2 days ago, I saw the video posted where you guys were doing the prep work. And then you're also working on one of the best conferences, the most unique conferences that stands out, or really organizations now that stands out as something so different. And so we really wanted to have you on and thank you for your time. I have to ask Antoine, first of all, is why did you get into healthcare administration? If you could just tell us real quick what got you into that, because with your mindset, you would have probably been successful in anything.
Yeah, no. So if you go back and read my personal statement that got me into a fellowship program at Geisinger, it's a lot more fluff in there, but a truth. But I always like to say verbally that I failed into healthcare. I was an aspiring civil engineer, had dreams of building railways, and I met a guy by the name of Calculus 3. And Calculus 3 kicked my behind, escorted me to the College of Business. I met some amazing mentors, sparked an interest in healthcare, ended up going to get my master's at University of Central Florida, and just kept chugging on since then. So from engineer to now hospital operator, and a lot of failure in between.
This is an interesting question, but you know, 10 years since fellowship to being the COO of a hospital is not that long of amount of time. And also you're fairly young. A lot of people expect these executives in these positions to be, you know, in their 50s, sometimes in their 60s, and to have that 20 or 30 years of experience. But I've been talking to a lot of younger COOs of hospitals about what they have done to get there. What do you think makes your path unique that's given you those skills to become a COO with maybe less experience than what people traditionally would expect?
Yeah, you know, just pouring into the craft, but also an ability to be flexible and collaborative. I think there's probably 30 different ways you can answer that question. But for me personally, it's been a willingness to learn, a willingness to travel far for those learnings. As like many, I had the goal of doing a fellowship in an amazing, sunny, populated, diverse area. And I ended up in what, you know, turned out to be a gem of an area, central Pennsylvania. A small town called Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, working for a well-known healthcare system, Geisinger Healthcare System. And, you know, what I've learned is that not many people are willing to travel for experience to work with great people. And that was a life-changing experience for me. I've had to make a jump most recently to Detroit, Michigan, which was another amazing place and another amazing opportunity. And everyone's situation is different, but for me, it's been that diversity and thought and that willingness to travel to get it.
And do you think it's just geographic travel, or is it also emotional and mental? Because when people think of central Pennsylvania, as someone who's from Philly, they're like, oh man, you know, central Pennsylvania, that's out in kind of in the middle of nowhere. But when you go there and you meet the people and you adapt into the community, you realize it's an awesome place to live with so much cool stuff going on. But it takes that mental effort to do that.
All of the above. I think we, regardless of where you are in career, whether it be staying local or traveling or taking on a new project, there's value in seeing it yourself and taking advice and what I like to call seeking perspective. But most importantly, seeing it for yourself, filling it out, laying your eyes on it. And sometimes, you know, putting your hands on that project or that opportunity is great, great benefit to us.
So while you were at Henry Ford, which was, I think you left back in July of 23, and that's when you transitioned into your COO role. So while you were there, you co-founded the Advancement League, which a lot of people who are, especially in the innovation space, very popular. And you co-founded this with Alex Massberger, which we just had on. We just had Alex on not too long ago. So his episode, I think, will be coming out a few days before this one. Alex's motivations, I think, are very unique to Alex and his experiences, as I'm sure yours are. Why did you found or want to found the organization? What was it that inspired you, and how did that come about on your side of things?
Yeah, so Alex and I actually were co-fellows at the Geisinger Health System in 2015. You know, as a portion of the opportunity, you are awarded, you know, a conference to go to. And for all the time, everyone, you know, went to ACHE. So we followed suit, went to ACHE, had a great time. It was a great event. We ended up going to brunch with a group of about 25 individuals, all in that same, you know, early career-ish, just graduating, getting ready to graduate, starting fellowships. And we just had a great conversation. And someone at the end said, you know, we should do more of this. So we did, and we hosted what we called at the time a road trip. And we did that in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, at the Geisinger Health Plan. We had, again, about 30 individuals drive and, you know, ride their bikes and, you know, fly in for it. Again, have great conversation, talk about at the time critical topics such as, you know, EMR integration. You know, at the time, Epic wasn't the monopoly that it is now. So just great dialogue, great food, et cetera. And that turned into our first annual summit, Young Health Leader Summit in 2018. So we're approaching now our seventh annual summit. So 2015, first summit in 2018, and now 2025 will be in Atlanta, Georgia.
What has motivated you to be a continued part of the organization? What is the personal reason behind you wanting to do this? Because when, you know, when things get successful, it's always that initial part of founding thing that's really exciting. And then as it begins to get successful, the real meaning and motivation is what has to come through, right? So what is that?
Yeah, it's purpose-driven. Honestly, it's the testimonials. When you host a summit and you do something like our, you know, 24-hour community impact challenge, and you see the impact that it has on every city that we visit, and you see the impact that it has on the participants, like, wow, this is why I joined healthcare. This is, you know, I thought I wanted to be a strategy vice president, but no, I actually am going to go back and figure out how I add more value in this capacity. It's the individuals that come seeking funding and leave with life-changing offers. It's the individuals that come at a career crossroads and end with, you know, a life-changing career experience. So for me, it's always been the testimonials. It's been a cup filler for me outside of the hospital operator role. And it's also, you know, kept me sharp and aware of trends, ideas, perspectives outside of the walls of the hospital. So I love the job, the team that I do, but the summit and the people that come to the summit, you know, keep it thinking a little bit different.
What's unique about it compared to all of the other, I mean, there's so many organizations that do summits and conferences and keynotes and all this stuff, but everybody does speak very differently about what you all do. And why is that? What's the key ingredient?
Yeah, so part of it just comes from the size, you know, us purposely capping it at between 150 and 200 people. It just makes for a different level of collaboration, you know, different conversations and different connections. And then having impact and community impact stay at the foundation, either through the way of an impactathon or case competition, makes it different. And then, again, we talk about this phrase, lateral networking. We really structure the activities to force folks to network and enjoy those that are in the audience. You know, time and time again, we go to conferences and there's a line afterwards, rightfully so, to meet the speakers. But we're missing the opportunity, we think, to really value and make connections with those in the room. And that's been something that continues to pay off. And that's something that's present at our Young Care Leader Summit.
As an early careerist whose parents were not executives, it's everybody is exciting for me because everybody is, you know, it's all new. Everything is new, right? So, you know, somebody who's the manager of HR is going to be just as exciting to me as somebody who's the chief HR officer. And that, I think, has benefited me. Why is that concept so important, have you found personally, where you're networking with people who aren't just the speaker, aren't just in the C-suite or a really exciting role, but you're networking with people who, you know, are, I guess are more within your direct peer group?
So it was always a feeling, right? Our very first summit, we, you know, our marketing slogan was that we're going to scrap name badges. And we, you know, had folks essentially write their name and their organization and skip the part about the title because we wanted to kind of force that interaction to where folks care about each other as humans. And that's been kind of the community that we've built. But now 7 years in, it's been proven by facts and testimonials that, you know, hey, we met, you know, Salome, you know, when she was just starting behavioral health tech, and now it's grown to be something. So a lot of the interactions that you make when you're quote unquote lateral networking pay off in, you know, 3 to 5 years. It's like making that solid investment that you knew is going to pay off. So we've betted on a lot of young health leaders. We're fortunate to have amazing senior healthcare leaders that join us every year and pour into those young leaders as well. And sometimes it pays off immediately. But most times it pays off within 3 to 5 years and you get that call or that connection or that opportunity or, oh, I met this person before, you know, they found it the next Google. So it's been rewarding.
Yeah. And I think over your 10 years, I'm sure you've had that happen probably quite a few times at this point.
100%. Back to your original question on, you know, how did you get this? It's literally the network, the people that you surround yourself with, you know, these jobs. Sometimes you get calls directly from the folks that are hiring. Other times it's, hey, this job posting, I know the individual that's hiring for it and your name came up. So don't take for granted the folks that are in the audience and the folks that you are in class with or in cohorts with.
I appreciate that advice. Very important. And then now I want to ask about, how do you find the time? I asked Alex the same question. What are the dynamics like at, he's at SAS, of course, but you know, you're the CEO of a hospital. You have a lot of responsibility as well. And of course, hospital sometimes is not always as nice when it comes to work-life balance as kind of the corporate tech world. Sometimes it's the opposite. So what has that been like for you managing a growing organization while also working full-time as the CEO of a hospital?
Yeah, I mean, so transparency for the folks watching. I mean, how many times did we have to reschedule this meeting? I mean, probably approaching two hands. So it happens, you know, it's late into the evening right now. I'm sure I'm going to get a text from my wife like, hey, you know, where are you? The girls are ready to eat. But this conversation, the audience that you have was important. So late into the evening, get ready to head home and doing this before, after the job is down at the hospital. So you make time when you can and, you know, remain flexible and keep good people around you.
How do you find the good people and how do you get them? Are there any traits that you have that's helped you to do that?
Yeah. So one of my, you know, leaders that I really aspire and inspired by, he said, you know, it's not that complicated. You really just gravitate and you look for normal people, you know, folks that say hello and say hi and that value you as a human. You know, resumes are important. We'll continue to do that. But you know, when you meet someone that's just a genuine soul that enjoys the work they do and that, you know, truly does love people. And that's been kind of the core principles, you know. We will take those soft traits, soft skills over the hard skills any day. I think they're publishing books probably right now as we talk about how important those are. So it's not much as if a surprise anymore as it was, you know, maybe 10, 20 years ago. So a lot of it is luck. I would love to say that you just, you know, have some master algorithm, but it's been luck and just keeping that, you know, innate want to keep good people around you.
Kind of transitioning a little bit, what has some of the changes been for you going from being kind of a director of operations, you know, being an administrator and then working as a vice president of operations? And kind of the biggest, I guess, change or the biggest leap is going from that vice president level to the C-suite level. Has there been a lot of changes and struggles to learn each time, or have you developed a method for embracing new roles?
Yeah, it's a lot of new learning, but primarily just learning new people, new teams, and new culture. You know, the work follows, you know, the challenges follow, and they shift a little bit. But I think, you know, the more you pour into people and take your time into the folks that you work with, the folks that you hire, the way you connect with those individuals, I think each role requires a new level of trust, a new level of, you know, seeking out individuals that are inspired by the work, so purpose-driven work, and folks that just love what they do. So each role, you kind of pull yourself out of it just a little bit. You're still extremely hands-on, in my opinion, if you're a good leader, but you got to put trust in the others or it's not sustainable. So it's just been another layer of trust for the folks that you work with and taking more time to select those folks.
That's been a big theme throughout our conversation. Why is that hard for us? Because if it was so easy to build relationships and to do this lateral networking and build a community, whether it's at the job or externally, everyone would be doing it and we'd be all doing great, right? But this is something that is a challenge. Any idea why it's challenging to do these things?
Yeah, I think it takes time. You know, it's one of those things where when you do something yourself, you see the results immediately, in most cases, whether they be good or bad, you have that instant gratification. But, you know, we try to preach sustainability, long-term impact, you know, scale. And I think those come from, you know, if you leave for a week or a year or you take a new job, you know, those initiatives, that work, that purpose that you drilled in should continue, you know, for some time. And I don't think you get that without, you know, trusting others. So I think the fear or the, you know, pushing away from that comes from just that instant gratification that we all enjoy and that we're seeing more and more throughout the world.
How many people do you try to get to know and get to trust as the COO of a hospital? Do you try to get to know, I mean, everyone? That would be challenging with the amount of people that work at a hospital.
Yeah, over time, you know, it takes time, you know, usually a good year, you know, to get that core group of folks. So I don't think there's a number. I think it's more a feeling and, you know, you got to give yourself grace. So you meet someone new a day, you play off your skill sets. You got some folks that know names like the back of their hand. You got some folks that know facts. And I think that comes from real connections, and you can't establish real connections without taking time. So
I very much agree. Yeah. I was at a meeting yesterday and I couldn't remember any names. It was terrible. All these people were coming up to me and saying, "Oh, Cole, it was great talking to you the other day." I'm like, "Oh no, I can't remember what this was." It was terrible. No, so that can be a challenge. It's impressive. What do you think, if you could just give one piece of advice, what would be the biggest piece of advice, especially specific to the operations world, that you would have for somebody who loves operations? Maybe they're a practice manager or maybe a manager of operations, but they're struggling to take that next step into the director or the AVP role.
Yeah, so I think we get, you know, caught up on titles and we gravitate to, you know, the career trajectory that we've seen others take. So I think it's back to where we started the conversation, and that is being flexible and being adaptable and just being willing to make change. You know, in order to implement change, you have to make change. And that doesn't mean, you know, you have to move across the country or, you know, move internationally and pack up your family, but sometimes it's a mindset. So I will be the last to tell you to, you know, stay patient, because I think that means a ton of different things depending on who you are. But for me, it's just be flexible, be willing to take on different opportunities, even within your same role, and just stay creative. And the last thing I'll say is just seek perspective. You know, we take a lot of advice and sometimes it can be conflicting. So, you know, jot it all down as perspective.
How do you know when you're ready to move on or to look for those new opportunities?
It'll find you. You know, you'll be sitting content and the universe, and you know, we'll put it in front of you, whether it be a job posting or you see others in your immediate circle starting to make that jump, or more projects are coming your way, or you've mastered, you know, what you're doing and it's become unfulfilling and not challenging. So I think some of those things usually all at once start to come. It's like, okay, might be time.
So you don't take a very you take a low stress approach.
Some would say, I think that's important, you know, try to stay balanced, practice meditation, do all the things they tell you to do. So low stress some days, not all days.
Yeah, so some days are higher than others, especially probably during this time.
It's all about balance.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Antoine. I appreciate all of your advice and help. The focus on the people, just to summarize, it's focusing really on those people, building the trust and connections. And then I like what you said, ignoring the name tag. I didn't even realize that you all did that there, is not having the credentials. So that's a really smart move. And then what are the dates specifically, just so the audience knows? I think you said May 14th to the 16th in Atlanta is when the conference is. And are we full already, or are there still room for members of the audience?
Yeah, so we're re-releasing tickets coming up here soon. So by the time this comes out, we'll probably have about 150 spots left. So it's prime time to get registered. We'll have amazing individuals, you know, Scott Becker, leaders from Google, leaders from healthcare systems from across the country, and real connections, you know. So May 14th through 16th, in the heart of Midtown Atlanta, 2 days, high ROI, good energy, and community impact.
And Scott is an awesome guy to have for early careers as well. He gives some great advice, especially on that lateral networking piece.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. 7 years of learning.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Antoine, again. And I hope we can have you back on again in the near future.
Yeah, thank you.